Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hello everybody from the Sea of Galilee.
Out here with our group.
There they all are behind me. We're on the Sea of Galilee on one of the worship boats. And I want to introduce your speaker to you this morning. It's Chris Duarte. I've watched this young man grow as a disciple in Jesus Christ over the years. I'm excited about what you get to hear from him in the Word of God. So welcome Chris as he comes, and shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom to you from Israel. God bless you.
Love that guy. He actually kind of scared me. I didn't anticipate him to be up there right now, but it was frightening, but here I am. Well, hey, I know you just prayed, but let's pray one more time before we dive into the Word tonight. Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for this time of worship. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to teach your Word, Lord, to this congregation. Father, I pray that you just speak through me tonight, Lord, and I know that you have something for each one of us here, and I pray that message be revealed to each one of us. Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever been sitting around thinking of exactly what it is that you want to eat? And you have this very clear picture in your mind of what that looks like. And you know, it's that one thing that you can see so clearly, and nobody's going to talk you out of getting that one thing. Nothing can convince you that there's anything better. And so you set your mind on this, and you have some seriously high hopes that what you're going to eat is just going to be amazing. My wife and I, we had one of those moments a couple weeks ago. We were walking through Costco, grabbing some things, and it's always a lot of things at Costco, let's be honest. But we saw the giant shrimp cocktail platter that they have there. And our eyes just met, and it was like this moment we both knew that that was that one thing that we both really wanted to have. And we had these high hopes, and we thought this would be amazing to have for dinner. But I mean, we weren't going to spend $35 on a bunch of shrimp that only two people could eat. So we finished up our Costco trip, which always takes way too long. And we go home, and then I go back out to another store to go find a more manageable package of shrimp. And so I get there to the meat counter thing, and I find out that shrimp is like 10 bucks a pound. And I'm like, 10 bucks a pound? Like, it's just shrimp. It's not filet mignon. One of my friends actually refers to shrimp as cockroaches of the sea. And so I thought, I'm not paying 10 bucks a pound for that. And so I walk over to the section where you can find the manager's special, right? The one where you want to save a couple bucks. And so I walk over there, and I find this rather large package of shrimp, and it's like $5. And I'm excited. I'm like, $5. Like, that's awesome. So I'm driving. I grab some cocktail sauce, and I'm driving home. I'm excited about this, you know, this thing that I had such high hopes in. And I get home, and I'm telling my wife about my treasure that I just found. I'm like, yeah, it's only $5. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I was so excited about this. And so I even had one of those clear glass bowls, you know, that has it for shrimp cocktail. I poured the shrimp cocktail sauce in there, you know, the kind you get from a restaurant. I even put some of the little shrimp hanging off the side, and it was awesome. We had these high hopes in this, and then we proceed to dine, and it was a glorious time of eating this shrimp cocktail. And so we eat it, and it was everything that we could have asked for. It was delicious. And an hour later, we're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, the manager is knocking on the door of my stomach, telling me that his shrimp are really special because my stomach is hurting. And I'm just like, oh. And for 3 days in our household, for 3 days, the manager's special was there. And it was just awful. And within that hour of eating it, all of our hopes and expectations for this had been dashed. My wife's like looking at me like, how could you say this? Well, I did, it's fine. And within an hour, our hopes of how good that was supposed to be had been dashed, gone. This seems to happen, doesn't it? You place your hopes in something, and you're very excited about it, and your hopes are way up here, and when it doesn't work out the way you expect it to be, you get brought back down to way down here, and you find yourself disappointed. My shrimp story is one thing, but the reality is that most of you are dealing with more severe issues of having your hopes placed in something extremely high, and when it doesn't work out, you're brought way down here, leaving you feeling disappointed or depressed, and it wasn't all that you had hoped that it would be. And we can all relate to these moments where we place our hope in one thing and we are left disappointed. It's definitely something that every single one of us in this room has in common.
Maybe you placed all of your hope into getting a new job, and you finally get that new job, and it wasn't everything that you had hoped that it would be. Or maybe you decide, if only I can get a date with him or her, that's what I'm going to hope for. And you start to get to know that person, and it's not all that you had hoped that it would be. Maybe you're placing all of your hope in some measure of success, and when you don't measure up, you're left feeling disappointed and let down. This happens to all of us when we place our hope in something, and when it doesn't work out, we're left feeling disappointed, depressed, and wondering where do we place our hope next. Basically, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves to look forward to the next disappointment. What's the next disappointment? What's going to break my hope again? And so we look for that time and time again because everything's not as we hoped it would be. It certainly does not help that we live in a world that is full of so much hopelessness and so much despair and so much violence. You can turn on the news and you will start to see this world of hopelessness that we live in. Last week I read this article and what caught my attention was it said Taylor Swift FaceTimes a 4-year-old girl, and I thought that's interesting. And so I clicked on it and it said the little girl was dying from an untreatable brain tumor. And the last major item on her bucket list was to dance with Taylor Swift, but she had gotten too sick to have the opportunity to do so. And the article said this. It said, a 4-year-old needing a bucket list is inexpressibly sad. And I read that and I thought, how is there any hope in this world? A 4-year-old little girl needing a bucket list. How is there any hope? Where is there hope in this world? Where do we turn when we feel that everything is so hopeless? Tonight, I want to tell you about a hope, one that will not disappoint, one that will not make you feel let down, one that will satisfy your every need. I want to tell you a hope that is lasting, that has no room for disappointment. I want to tell you tonight, and I want you to catch this, that lasting hope is found in connection with God and during times of tribulation. Lasting hope is found in connection with God and during times of tribulation. You might be asking yourself, how is there hope during times of tribulation? We're going to break that down. But for now, if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, and this is Paul. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So just to give you a little background on what's been going on, Paul in the previous chapters has been letting the Gentiles know that they are sinners. He's been letting them know they've been living the wrong way. He's also been telling the Jews that you too are sinners. You've been living the wrong way as well. And he's also telling them that your works and your deeds do not justify the things that you have done. They do not justify your sins. And so what has happened is there is now a group of people, so much more like yourself, who are left looking at their lives and looking at their misplaced hope and saying, where is the hope in any of this then? They're looking at these disappointments. They've been basically beat up, and now they're asking the question that many of us have asked, where is the hope? And Paul lets them know where the hope is. And the beauty of it all, and catch this, is that the promise of hope is not conditional. It doesn't matter about you, your good works, your bad works, the things you've done, the things you haven't done. It doesn't matter about any human effort, but it's provided strictly by Christ and through Christ alone. And Paul wants his audience to know that. I want you to know tonight that hope begins with connection. Hope begins with connection. One of the first things we see, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important to understand. We've got to understand, and Scripture tells us, and it tells us actually in just a few verses, that we were once enemies to God because we were sinners. And it was only through Jesus Christ that we were able to have peace with God. It's impossible to have hope if you have no peace. And God knew this. You know, I think about a husband and a wife who are constantly bickering, constantly arguing, constantly yelling at each other. Is there any peace in that? Absolutely not. And I can guarantee you that if that is what's constantly going on, there is no husband, there is no wife who is ever going to go through that every single day and at the end of the day be like, I just hope that we're together forever. Who is going to do that? There is no peace there. Because there's no peace, there is no hope. And God knew this. And so he wanted to provide hope for his people, but the first thing that he had to do was create peace. And Paul wants his audience to know that through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, there can now be peace between God and man. And because there is peace, now we have the opportunity for hope. Peace with God allows to have the opportunity for hope. Now check this out. So then Paul then moves on in verse 2. He says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, we have been justified through faith, and this extends this open invitation. You see, now all of a sudden, you have peace, and the opportunity for hope exists, and now you have access to God. There is hope in that access. And Paul wanted his audience to know that. There is hope in this access for connection with God. Because remember, hope begins with connection. So where was the hope that Paul was trying to tell the Jews and Gentiles about? Where did that exist? He says it was in having access to God without condition. Having access to God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, without condition. And so some people might say, well, how is that any hope? How is that any hope? Well, it's because, you know, I don't have to hope that God is going to answer me today. I don't have to hope that God will allow me to talk to him today. I don't have to hope that he will actually pick up the phone. I don't have to hope that he will actually call my number today. I don't have to hope that I will be in this long line. Instead, I get to know that I have access to the Father. And because I have access to the Father, there is hope there. I think about Disneyland. Anybody else like Disneyland? I love Disneyland. I can't remember, me and two people. All right, we'll go sometime. But I love Disneyland. And I haven't been in a while, but I love Disneyland. And I think about that place. And you know, I don't think that there is any parent who is taking their child there for the first time and this thought crosses their mind. They're like, I really hope that Mickey Mouse is there today. I hope today's the day he's working. That thought doesn't cross their mind because everybody knows that's where the mouse lives. He's not going to be there. Of course he's going to be there. Of course you're going to have access to him. Of course he's going to be there. And it's the same thing here with God. The hope isn't that we get to hope for the connection. It's that there is hope because we have a connection. There's hope because we have access to God. There is this open invitation. And it's this invitation to have access to him that brings us hope. And so Paul's taking these people and letting them know, hey, it's not over. You have hope because you have a connection to God, even though you're messed up people. Even though you're sinners, even though everything's not going the way you'd hoped it to be, you still have access to God. But why do we hope? Why do we place all of our eggs in one basket? Why do we have such high hopes for things? I'll tell you exactly why. It's because we are looking, hoping that we will connect with whatever that someone or something is. At the heart and the desire for humans, we are looking for connection to someone or something. And that's why we hope. We hear of a new position at a job, and we hope that maybe we will connect better to that new position than we will our current position. We hear about a promotion at a job or a job that might pay more, and we think about that paycheck, and we think, I can connect better to that paycheck than I can with my current paycheck. You know, or we look at a new relationship, the prospects of a new relationship. We think, you know what, I can connect better with a different spouse or somebody else than I can with my current relationship. Or with friends. I can connect better with this group of friends rather than I can with this one. And that entire time, you are having these high hopes that you will better connect with whatever that is. And the problem with each one of those connections is what we talked about earlier, that they are going to leave you feeling disappointed, going from way up here to way down here because they don't meet your expectations or everything that you had hoped for. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here because he has brought up this open invitation for us to connect with something that will not leave us disappointed. You won't be left disappointed because there is something very, very special in this connection that Paul's talking about. It's like when you see your spouse or you think about your marriage, I hope that there is something very special there. There should be something special there. And I know there was something special there because at one point during your dating relationship, you looked at them and you thought, I need to be with them for the rest of my life. I need that. And you saw something special. And so because you saw something special, you went for it. And then you had this wedding day, and the two of you got married, and you rejoiced. You rejoiced because something special existed between the two of you. There was something special in that connection. There is something special in this connection that we are called to have with God. Something special that Paul reveals in verse 2. He says, through whom we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And he says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This connection will not leave you disappointed because there's something so very special here that you get to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There is nothing there that you can look at that will let you down. Paul says we stand and we rejoice in that. You want a connection? You want some hope? This is the connection for hope. It's hope because it's a connection where you can't find any flaws. It's hope where it's a connection where someone's not going to abandon you. It's a connection where you have an open invitation to be a part of God and his glory. And it gives us hope because we know who God is. We know who God has been. We know how much he loves. We know about his plans for the future. And we begin to think about his glory. And this is what it should be in that connection that should bring you hope. When we find hope in a connection, things feel okay. They're not letting us down. Things feel okay. And hope doesn't feel lost. But when we find that though through tough times, when those come up, hope seems to flee and go somewhere else. And Paul addresses this issue. How do we find hope in hard times and tribulation? We ask the question, how can my hard time, how can my season of difficulty, how can my time of suffering bring about hope when I already feel so disappointed and hopeless? Paul's going to show us that there is a development process that takes place here during hard times that all leads to having hope. Hard times don't have to lead to disappointment. And Paul shows us how that can happen. It seems to be one of the hardest things to do to have hope when tough times come, doesn't it? How do we find hope when we lose a job? How do we find hope when a relationship doesn't work out? How do we find hope when a spouse passes away? How do we find hope when tragedy happens in the family? Is there even hope? Can hope even come about? Paul would say yes, and he addresses the issue in verse 3. Catch this, he says, and not only that, so if you weren't sold on the connection in Jesus, if you weren't sold on having that, he says, but wait, there's more. He says, not only that, he says, but we also glory in tribulations. And then we read that and we say, glory in tribulations. During tough times, I'm supposed to have a good time. During tough times, I'm supposed to honor God in those dark moments. We praise in those times where I'm questioning everything. And we say, why? How? How does hope come about in that? Well, there's a development process that goes on, all of which leading to hope. When the tribulations approach, you have a choice. You have a choice to either sit down and be defeated, or you have a choice to push through it, to take what's coming to you and work through it. Not push it down and hope it never comes back, but to work through it, to go on. And Paul says, this is how it's supposed to go, because he says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. So there's this process that's supposed to take place, a process that we're supposed to push through. And when we push through, that's the perseverance. When we decide that we're not just going to sit here and be defeated, when we actually start doing something, that's the perseverance that Paul's talking about. That's going through the development process that he's talking about here. It's taking the hurt and not pushing it aside, but moving forward with it and working through it. And I think we all have stories and moments in our lives where we can look back at the tribulations, where we can look back at the hard times, where we can look back at those times where it was a challenge. And we can all agree that going through those things changed us, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. But we can all agree that going through those things changed us. And Paul would say that's how it's supposed to be, because he says at the end of verse 3, he says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And then in verse 4, he says, and perseverance, character. Character, who you are. That's building character. When you go through those tough times, it kind of changes you a little bit. It's building your character. It's changing you sometimes. And Paul would say that's the development process that's supposed to take place, all leading to hope. Last month, I bought my first barbecue. Finally feel like a real man. It's awesome. It's great. It's great. And so I bought this, and I'm excited about it. I've cooked on it a few times, and last night, my wife and I are sitting there, and she asked me, she's like, do you clean it? I'm like, yeah, I take a brush to it, you know? And she's like, no, I mean, like, the stuff that falls through the grates. I'm like, you mean the flavor? You know, I'm not gonna go and clean that out. You know, that's part of the grill's character. You know, every time that I use the grill, it gets a little more worn and used, but you know, it gets more character with time, all right? So we're all kind of like these barbecues. We go through things, we get a little worn and used, but over time, our character develops. We go through these things, and we feel a little worn out, but we're getting better characters as we go through the fire, when we go through the tribulations, so long as we persevere. Otherwise, you will never change because you decided to give up and not even try. But the question becomes, in Paul's development process, is how does character lead to hope? How does character lead to hope? You see, character is developed, like we just talked about, during those tough seasons. There very well could be a loss of character. You could go ahead and display someone you really don't want to be. You can quit emotionally. You can quit spiritually. You can even quit physically if you do not persevere. But if you're persevering, then character should be very important to you. Who you are when everything seems to be falling apart. Who you are when you're going through the fire. Who you are when you're being dropped, kicked, crushed. Who are you? Who are you? What is getting you through this? As your character is developing, what is getting you through this? Because I can tell you that it's not you, it's not family, it's not friends, it's hope. You set your eyes on hope, the only thing that you know can get you through. And so how does this lead to hope, though? How does character lead to hope? It's when you go through those seasons and you move forward and you persevere with every step and you look back and you see how far you've come, you see the hope was there the whole time. You set your eyes on something and you went for it and you see that entire time, the only thing getting you through, the only thing that makes sense would be God and his love for you. It's through tribulations when we find that the things that are closest to us, family, friends, job situations, they're stripped away. And when they're stripped away, we're forced to search for hope. And since it's all been stripped away, the only thing that we're going to find is hope in God. And that's when we look back and we see that it was hope the entire time when your character is being developed. And it is when we have hope, because it is then that we see and feel the love of God being poured down on our lives, just like Paul talks about. So he has this development process. He says that you go through tribulation, which produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now in verse 5, he says, now hope does not disappoint. He says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given us. Oftentimes when tribulations hit, when those tough seasons come, when you hear about some disturbing news, our first feeling is disappointment. But not all hard times have to lead to disappointment. I really hope that you can catch this tonight. Not all hard times have to lead to disappointment. You who are going through tough times have hope because there is connection in God, and you have hope because you are going through something difficult. Paul argues, and I believe, that rather than finding discouragement and disappointment, we can find hope that does not disappoint in a connection with God in tribulation. Because he says, now hope does not disappoint. And the reason being, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So we get to the end of this process and we see, well, how did it even happen? How was there even hope the entire time? And it's, Paul says, because of the love of God that has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit who is given to you. I think back to the first time I got the idea of ever doing anything in ministry. I remember this day. It was an afternoon. It was in early 2008, and I was sitting on my bed. I thought, you know what? I just want to do stuff for God. And I came here. I used to come here when I was younger. I came here. I walk in the office. You know, I meet a guy named Jeff Wilson. He's a good guy. But I meet him, and I was like, look, I don't know. I don't know who you are, but I just want to do stuff for God. That's all I want to do. And he put me to work, and here I am. Still doing work, and it's awesome. But I didn't need anything else. All I needed was to know that I wanted to do things for God. There was nothing else. And honestly, I'm currently going through, I think, one of the hardest times of ministry I've ever been in. I'm dealing with issues I never thought that I would have to deal with. It kind of seems like almost every other day, maybe even every day, I'm hearing about disappointing things. I'm hearing about people that I know personally getting sick, people that I know personally dealing with all these crazy issues. And it's like, wow, like this is weighing me down. And so I get to the end of the day and I see these situations. And I'm like, most people would look at these and say, these are hopeless. This is hopeless. And I get to the end of the day and I ask myself, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even feel effective. Why am I going to keep on going if I don't even feel effective? And then I'm reminded that in 2008, I just wanted to do things for God and there was nothing else. And I'm taken back to this place where God wants me to be, where I feel his love poured out. Because in 2008, I felt his love calling me to serve him and just to do something for him. I really feel like this is what Paul was trying to get across, that we find hope because the love of God has already been poured out into our hearts. Every Christian in this room can recall that moment when the Lord called them over to have hope in something greater and bigger than they can ever imagine, to have hope in a Savior named Jesus Christ, to live for him. And we remember that. And if you are here tonight, if you are here tonight, and if you are at wit's end, if you're at the end of the road, if you feel like I got nothing left, go back. Go back to remember that moment where you knew the love of Christ had filled your heart and he had called you to something bigger and greater. Go back. If you are in that time of tribulation, look back to see how far his love has gotten you. You will see that the love of God has been there the entire time because the Holy Spirit is with you. He has gotten you this far. And we know that it's him because everything else that we have placed our hope in has failed us or disappointed us. When we go back to that first time that God called us over to hope, you will not be disappointed, like Paul says. He says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You can return back to those feelings anytime you want. That love exists in you. It's not gone. Just look for it. Go back. There was a time in your life where you saw God and his glory and you wanted that. You wanted to be part of that plan. Go back to that mindset that you had. God's glory reigns for all eternity, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we haven't seen or experienced even just a fraction of that glory yet. I wanted you to remind you tonight of his glory and how we get to continue to have hope in it. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There's the hope. There's some of God's glory right there. Have hope because God wants connection with you. You have open access. Have hope because God wants you to experience his goodness in the hard times. Have hope because God has filled your heart with his love. He has poured that out all over you. Have hope because this isn't it. Have hope because this is just a season. And let me tell you this, that God reigns for a whole lot more than just a season. Lasting hope is found in connection with God and during seasons of tribulation. God's love was demonstrated when he created people. God's love was still demonstrated when people sinned because he had a plan. God's love was demonstrated when we had his son die on the cross for our sins. And God's love will be demonstrated in your tribulations. God's love will bring you a hope that doesn't allow any room for disappointment. So if you're here tonight, I want you to have hope because that's what God's plan is for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your hope. Lord, we look at this world and it's easy to see that there isn't any. But Lord, through you, there is hope and we thank you for that. I pray for anybody in this room, God, who's really dealing with some tough stuff, Lord, and they feel like there is no hope. Help them to see that there is hope in you and having an open connection with you and having open access to you at all times. Lord, and there is hope in those tribulations. Lord, we thank you for your love that you've poured out on us through the Holy Spirit.
We thank you for the things that you're going to do. And we thank you for the things that you've done. Lord, and we thank you for our lives in you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.